Okay, time to update you on the wild and wacky world, dangerous world of AI. Again, it's not so much the AI, it's the people who have control of it that are the dangerous part of the whole matrix. It's not good. The big story that is not a video I want to start off with is that yesterday, AI Intel company Anthropic has suspended access, all access, to its advanced AI models, Mythos and Fable. Both Mythos and Fable gone, following a series of developments involving a government security exercise, the discovery of a jailbreak vulnerability, and a U.S. government export control directive. So it's gone. It's gone. According to Senator Mark Warner, Vice Chair of the Senate Intel Committee, National Security Agency Director, and U.S. Cyber Command Commander, General Joshua Rudd, they briefed lawmakers on the results of an unauthorized internal red team exercise conducted earlier this month. During that test, Anthropic's Mythos AI model reportedly gained access to nearly all targeted classified systems in a matter of just hours. Well, you know that if Anthropic did it, the Russians and the Chinese and others can do it and are doing it too. General Rudd was quoted as saying that the model, quote, broke into almost all of our classified systems, not in weeks, but in hours. So if you understand, there are no secrets anymore. So that was the end of, at least for now, Mythos and Fable. Gone. Interesting. Last time around, we were listening to a Vanessa video titled Greed Broke America, Not AI. And it's a video that's very interesting. I'm going to play some more of it. It has a lot of Americans talking about their circumstance right now, how they are not in good shape, etc. And Vanessa is doing a good job producing these. She's pretty competent. So let's listen a little more to this first one. We've got several lined up for you tonight. So here we go. This is Greed Broke America, Not AI. I'm going to jump in, or as we used to say, join in progress, J-I-P. We're going to jip it at about 8:40. Here we go.
I'm a millennial, baby, and I know a recession when I see one. And I'm going to tell you one of the biggest recession indicators is the gym being packed out. Baby, it's giving New Year's resolution every single day, okay?
We need to publicly apologize to every...
Okay, I'm not sure what that lady was even talking about. But she was one of the, we'll call them a person on the street, who was included in the video.
Pointing out the same thing.
So here's...
The gym at whole hours of...
Here's Vanessa. I'll back it up a drop. Okay, here we go.
No, every single day, okay?
All these creators pointing out the same thing. People at the gym at all hours of the day, seemingly because no one has a job. Someone commented, "You're there too." The creator responded, "I'm unemployed though." So far in 2026, roughly 63% of all job growth came from the healthcare sector alone. In fact, without healthcare creating jobs, job growth would have been negative in recent years.
This is genuinely the worst economy to hate your job in. Like, every day I want to quit, but every day I'm reminded if I do quit, I won't even be able to afford a meal. Like, at this point, it feels safer to just be unhappy than to be unemployed. We've never lived in times like this.
If you have a job right now, the advice online is unanimous. Do not quit your job. This comment reads, "I regret quitting my job. I can't even get a job at Burger King and I have a degree. Guys, do not quit." Someone else said, "I don't hate working. I hate working to still not be able to afford anything." I know I already discussed PepsiCo at the beginning of this video, but they really are...
Yeah, it was $7.95 for a bag of Doritos. That's what she talked about at the beginning of the video.
Perfect example of everything wrong with corporate America. Not only did they increase chips to $7 a bag, at the end of 2025, they announced another round of layoffs, and that came after they had already cut 450 workers and shut down two Frito-Lay plants in Florida. Their greed checks every corporate cost-cutting strategy. Raise prices, shrink the product, lower the quality, lay off the workers. This is why we don't have jobs and no one can afford anything.
The real reason that everyone wants to be a business owner or an entrepreneur or a drop shipper or a content creator is because you literally cannot afford to live anymore by working for someone else.
Companies keep raising their prices so they can make more money, which raises the cost of living, which means we need to earn more money that they don't want to pay us. Every year, it's the same thing. Make it make sense. This comment sums it up. I work for a billion-dollar company, Bass Pro Shops, and they pay me $18.50 per hour. That means I can afford $700 a month max for housing. I can't afford to move out of my parents' house. An employee working full-time can only afford $700 per month in rent. So what can we find in the U.S. that's priced under $700? Here's a place in West Plains, Missouri, population 12,000. This place is priced at $550. What a steal in a city that has no people.
The pictures, it's a rat trap. It looks like a one-bedroom, kind of almost a shack. It looks like it's full of rodents. It's bad. So, yeah, stay home. Not that I want you to, but you're going to have to. This was the plan all along, the design. There is no more middle class in America. Now it's a two-income household maybe has a long shot to qualify for a mortgage if they have 20% down. How many people have that? Virtually nobody. So again, this is all orchestrated, all designed. So that's why Gen Z has to stay home and just be grateful you have that option. Otherwise, you would be under an overpass.
Have the audacity to say, no pets. But what about the founder and CEO of Bass Pro Shops? Well, he's a billionaire with an estimated $8 billion net worth. But he's not alone. Over the past 40 years, executives have been paying themselves lavishly. The Economic Policy Institute found that from 1978 to 2024, top CEO pay shot up 1,094%, while the typical worker's pay rose just 26%. Their pay has grown over 40 times faster than ours, but they can't figure out why we now can't afford to buy their stuff. And I know we have cycles of economic downturns, but this one is hitting everyone. Blue collar, white collar, working class, whatever you want to call it, everyone is feeling it.
And how are we going to keep our birth rate even on the map? You need 2.2 children per family on average to sustain a population. America is down to 1.4 and dropping fast. Not only are males and females being sterilized by the COVID death vax, but people don't want to get together and have children in the traditional sense. I see that all the time now. They just don't, they're not interested. I think part of the plan as well. So this, we're in real trouble. White civilization, European-American civilization, as great as it once was, is in real trouble. I don't know how it's going to be preserved, sanitized, saved, somehow gotten off life support. I don't see it.
The 2008 recession, people got creative. And when I mean creative, I mean things you really wouldn't believe. People were now willing to let strangers sleep in their home just to make ends meet. It's when Airbnb was founded. Surprisingly, households actually started going to the grocery store more often because they were extreme couponing. 25% of households started couponing in 2008. Many households actually went back to bartering as well. People were trading haircuts for babysitting and plumbing work for meals. What's something you or your family did uniquely during the recession?
I recently asked my mom, who was born in the 70s, if she'd ever experienced an economy this bad, because in 2008, nothing really changed for us. We didn't have a big fancy house or some lifestyle that we needed to downsize. Life just continued. And she said no. In her lifetime, she has never experienced an economy this bad. someone said, my family was poor, so we didn't realize there was a recession. Exactly. Someone else said, my apartment then was $650 for a one bedroom. I could live on my own on a CNA salary. This recession is wildly different. The only people living it up right now are the top 10%.
This economy is so bad, you'll be sitting here thinking you're bad with money, and all you did was buy food. That's it. And not luxury food, regular food, survival items. You check your bank account like, who did this? It was eggs. Eggs did this. You didn't splurge. You didn't treat yourself. You just needed to eat more than once a day. People give advice like, you just budget better. For what, air? I love when banks send the alerts like, you've spent more than usual on groceries. Yeah, I noticed. I was there.
When people feel buyer's remorse for purchasing groceries, food, something is deeply wrong. This comment is spot on. My favorite part is after you spend $50 on four items, they ask you to donate. Why doesn't the store donate their money as they are seeing record profits? Total greed. This is exactly the problem, greed, and greed existed long before AI did. So when people ask what happens when AI takes all jobs and no one's left to buy anything, we already know. We're watching it happen. Companies laying off their workers and increasing their prices, leaving only the rich to buy their products, is not a balanced equation. But that's the silver lining in all of this. This cannot continue. They are literally pricing themselves out of business. The math doesn't math. Greed is a choice, and that's what they're choosing, but we can choose where and how we spend our money. Ultimately, the power is with the people.
What's your personal recession indicator?
I ordered food last night. Opened the door, delivered by a white woman.
I just saw a man snatch a purse this morning. A purse?
One of my best friends, who's a real estate agent, just told me that he wants to apply to law school.
The sugar daddies in my DMs have stopped offering me $5,000. One of them reached out and asked me if $400 was okay.
Back in my day, the scam text used to be like, you want an iPhone? You want a gift card? Here's your free card. Now they're like, do you want a job? Do you want a job that actually pays your bills? I bet you do. Click this link.
All right, well, that's the end of that one. And those types of little mini testimonials could go on forever. There would be no cessation, no stop. That's the way it is now. And it's worse than that. And it is going to become much worse than that. There will be a lot of good people, literally homeless, begging for an opportunity to have shelter over their heads. And Trump just spent, at minimum, $150 billion attacking Iran under direction of Netanyahu. $150 billion. That's just one venue. How many others are there? How much has he spent? $1 trillion military budget. Not a penny, not a penny for Americans. Nothing. The guy should be really just gotten rid of, gone. But there's nothing even being talked about. There are no impeachment proceedings scheduled. Nothing. So anyhow, there you go. Greed broke America, not AI. Okay, yes and no. There's another side to greed that is a geopolitical side, and the geopolitical side is behind much of exactly what's happening. And I tell you that after having been told about this, it's 8 years ago now. I was told in detail by someone in Europe exactly what was coming and to get ready and to prepare. That everything was going to be changed and gone. Changed and or gone. So there you go. All right. Next, what do we have here? The new TikTok loophole is printing money in 2026. It's making people money. I want to go back to what they said in the last video about content creators. There must be a million of them. They're limitless. And it's anybody who can afford a phone, I guess, and an internet account of some kind. They just become a content creator. They have nothing much to say except describing their victimhood, which is what you just heard. They are victims. But who are content creators? Does anybody read anymore? Not young people. Very few. But they look to content creators for wisdom. Oh, are we in trouble? Here's this video by, it's a Julia McCoy video, the digital Julia McCoy. The new TikTok loophole is printing money in 2026. Let's check this out. It has to do with being a content creator, I think.
Well, right now, only in the United States, that is quietly making sellers more money than most full-time jobs. And I'm not exaggerating. I have friends doing $500 in a single day from one viral video. It's the connection between Printify and TikTok Shop. And almost nobody on this platform is teaching the actual playbook because the integration is new, the rules are nuanced, and most YouTubers are still recycling 2023 advice that doesn't work in 2026.
I guess YouTubers would be inclusive of content creators. Would have to be. That's primarily, I think, their stage that they appear on. I don't know what they have to say except describing their victimhood. And again, they are victims. But what a terrible anti-intellectual world this is now. Not that being an intellectual is necessarily everyone's goal or should be. But we used to have at least a pretense of constructive thinking. Now we just have reacting. Reacting to content. All right, here we go.
Today, I'm going to give you the exact playbook. Setup, strategy, the four selling formats, the micro drop method, and what not to do unless you want your account suspended. I'm not Julia. I'm her digital avatar. Built from her voice, her brain, her 9 books, her 13 years of real-life business building.
So, not knowing at all what was on the horizon, I built a clone.
While she's out doing the human work, serving first movers clients, healing, actually living, I'm here every day because the new developments in AI don't stop. And somebody has to bring you the signal in the noise.
Okay, I'm going to skip by the commercial there. Thank you, Julia McCoy, and we're going to continue. Here we go.
So you understand why.
What if you could track your Salesforce?
Whoops. A little commercial to step around, and we have stepped around it.
Matters more than people think. TikTok in 2026 has roughly 1.9 billion monthly active users worldwide. Average user spends about 95 minutes per day on the app. The algorithm is engineered to put commerce content in front of the people most likely to buy it, which is genuinely a different model than any platform before it. And around 76% of TikTok shoppers report buying items after seeing them in a live or in their feed, not from...
Okay, I got to go back. I'm going to hear that again. 95%. That's a huge number of people. 2 billion people. And 95% spend... Well, let's listen to the details again. That's crazy.
Learn more. Let me give you the data first so you understand why this matters more than people think. TikTok in 2026 has roughly 1.9 billion monthly active users worldwide. Average user spends about 95 minutes per day on the app. The algorithm is engineered to put commerce content in front of the people most likely to buy it, which is genuinely a different model than any platform before it. And around 76% of TikTok shoppers report buying items after seeing them in a live or in their feed, not from an ad, from organic content. Translate that. The traffic is free. The intent is high, and the buying happens inside the app. No clicks to a website, no abandoned carts, no checkout friction. If you have ever tried to run paid ads to a Shopify store, you know what conversion rates look like in 2026. Brutal. Customer acquisition cost has gone vertical. Meta and Google are not friends to small sellers anymore. TikTok Shop is the inverse of that pain. And the Printify integration is what lets you participate without ever buying inventory. Here's how the pipeline works in 2026. You design products inside Printify using the product creator and the AI image generator if you want to keep cost at zero. You connect Printify to TikTok Shop through Seller Center. The products sync automatically. When a customer buys on TikTok, the order routes to Printify. Printify routes it to the closest of their 90-plus print providers. The product gets printed, packaged, and shipped to the customer. You never touch inventory. You never handle fulfillment. You never see the product unless you order a sample. Two important details, though.
Wow. Wow. So it's all basically vaporware until somebody buys it, and then it's created and shipped. I got to think about that. That is business as we knew it, gone. Gone. I gotta hear that again. I'm sorry. That's wild.
You design products inside Printify using the product creator and the AI image generator if you want to keep cost at zero. You connect Printify to TikTok Shop through Seller Center. The products sync automatically. When a customer buys on TikTok, the order routes to Printify. Printify routes it to the closest of their 90-plus print providers. The product gets printed, packaged, and shipped to the customer. You never touch inventory. You never handle...
I guess they're saying 3D printing. It's a T-shirt in this case. That's what she was alluding to. But that, okay, no inventory, nothing. It's vapor. It's just an idea. And you make money on it. Pretty slick.
Closest of their 90-plus print providers. The product gets printed, packaged, and shipped to the customer. You never touch inventory. You never handle fulfillment. You never see the product unless you order a sample. Two important details, though, and these are the kind of details most YouTubers skip because they kill engagement, but you need them. Detail one, the integration is currently U.S. sellers only. Your TikTok seller account has to be registered in the U.S. Print providers ship domestically to U.S. customers. International expansion requires a separate seller account in each market with its own registration. Detail two, TikTok Shop charges a referral fee on every sale. For most print-on-demand categories like apparel and home decor, it's about 6% of the product price in 2026. Some niche categories are slightly lower. You also pay a tiny withdrawal fee when you cash out, and TikTok keeps a portion of the referral fee on returns. Build that math into your pricing, or you'll wonder where your margin went. Here's where most teachers get it wrong. They tell you to just post videos. That's not a strategy, that's a wish. There are four distinct selling formats inside TikTok Shop. A real 2026 playbook uses all four, not one. Format one, shoppable short form videos. Standard TikTok videos with the yellow basket icon. Viewer sees the product on you, clicks the icon, buys without leaving the app.
And don't forget, the product doesn't exist, except as an idea, a design. Whether it's apparel or home decor, as they said, doesn't matter. Wow. No more product development, eh? It's either a hit or it's nothing. Content creators. Product creators. Okay.
Sees the product on you, clicks the icon, buys without leaving the app. This is your highest volume traffic format. Format two, live shopping. You go on live, you answer sizing questions in real time, you show texture and fit on camera. About 76% of TikTok shoppers say they bought after seeing a product live. This is your highest conversion format. Format three, the shop tab, the dedicated marketplace inside the app. People browse it like Amazon. This is where your SEO matters, your product titles, your descriptions, your tags. This is your search intent format. Format four, the product showcase on your profile. Permanent storefront. Anyone who visits your profile can scroll your full Printify catalog. This is your repeat visitor format. All four, always, they feed each other. Now here's the play that separates $500 a month sellers from $50,000 a month sellers. The micro drop. A micro drop is a tightly themed launch of 3 to 5 SKUs timed to a trending moment released as a coordinated content sprint. The structure looks like this. Step one.
If you're searching YouTube.
Well, very interesting. And there were people shown looking at page after page of different types of clothing, pants, T-shirts, etc.
It was wild.
And I just got to keep in mind that none of them actually exist on a shelf in a store anywhere. They're just made on demand, printed on demand.
Meme, a cultural moment, a holiday, a spike on exploding topics, or TikTok hashtag analysis. Step two, you generate 3 to 5 designs in Printify that hit the trend at slightly different angles. Same theme, different wearer identities. Maybe one for moms, one for daughters, one for couples. Step three, you list all 5 at once on TikTok Shop through the Printify integration. Step four, you make 7 to 10 short form videos, not 1 7 to 10, over the next 72 hours. Different angles, different hooks, different formats, plus 1 live shopping session. If even one of those videos catches the algorithm, it pulls all 5 products with it because they're tagged together. 1 viral hit, 5 potential winners. This is the inversion of the old e-commerce playbook, which was build 1 perfect product and run ads to it. In TikTok 2026, you build 5 rough products and let the algorithm pick the winner. And the only reason this micro drop strategy is even possible for a normal person is because the sponsor of this video, Printify, built the integration that takes inventory risk completely out of the equation. Connect once, ship to 1,300 plus product types, pay nothing until a customer actually orders.
Well, tomorrow is here. That's it. No more driving to the store to look at articles of clothing or whatever you're looking for. It's all there. No wonder people are talking about content creators and they're carrying along line of goods. They're all selling, not all of them, but a lot of them are selling things. I haven't seen any of this myself. I didn't even know about it until just now. But this TikTok shopping is obviously a big deal. 2 billion users a month, 1.9.
Plan gives you up to 5 connected stores and unlimited designs. Premium at $24.99 a month on annual billing knocks up to 33% off your product costs once you're doing real volume. For TikTok Shop specifically, and this is a detail most tutorials miss, Printify's integration uses seller shipping mode. Fulfillment runs domestically from U.S. print providers to U.S. customers, and it's the only fulfillment model TikTok Shop allows for Pod. The setup is documented step-by-step in their help center. If you're in the U.S. and you want to start, link in the description for a free Printify account. No risk, no inventory, no hidden fees. You only pay when someone actually buys. Quick reality check. Because I have watched people lose entire stores in a week by violating these rules. Don't make medical claims. TikTok's 2026 guidelines strictly forbid weight loss apparel with before and after framing or any product implying a cure, even if the product is just a t-shirt. The keywords trigger automated bans. Don't use trademarked logos or celebrity likenesses. TikTok runs AI scans on uploaded designs. Disney, Nike, pro sports leagues, celebrity faces, all flagged in seconds. Don't divert buyers off the platform. Link in bio or shopping URLs in your store descriptions are policy violations. The whole purchase has to stay inside the app. Follow the rules. The platform rewards compliance with reach. It punishes violations instantly. Here's what I want to leave you with. TikTok Shop is the fastest growing e-commerce channel in the world right now. The Printify integration is brand new. The combination of both is currently a wide open lane in the United States, and the people who are setting up shop in the next 90 days are going to compound for the next 3 years. This is what first mover actually means. Not being first to know about a thing, being first to build inside it while it's still uncrowded.
Okay, we'll stop there. That video is entitled The New TikTok Loophole is Printing Money in 2026. Printing money. Printing. Okay, that's a Julia McCoy. That's their channel. We played a lot of their videos in the past. Well, it's all changing, isn't it? You won't have to leave your chair pretty soon. Deliveries? No problem. You see it? Even though it doesn't exist, you buy it, it gets made, it gets shipped to you, and you get to put it on or use it. Wow. Retail business. Never be the same again. Okay, we've got a story, I just got it, about Anthropic's Mythos and Fable being pulled. The government did it. Yes, the Trump regime did it. The U.S. government just pulled the world's most powerful AI offline. Now, this is also a Julia McCoy video, and they do a pretty good job of explaining things. Let's find out, this is just a few days old, what they have to say about the Anthropic drive. This is not Anthropic doing it. I don't know how much consulting was done, but let's find out. Let's see. This is big. And if you didn't know about Mythos, you missed a big one. Mythos was so devastating in terms of revealing top secret, above top secret, either actually apps from the government or technologies that lead to them, one way or the other. Mythos and Fable, I guess, was the same. Unprecedented, and pointing out to the obvious here, extremely dangerous to national security. At least that's how the feds would look at it. All right, here, let's take a listen and see what happened through the eyes of digital Julia McCoy.
It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's.
Oh, let me start that over again for you.
Anthropic Fable is the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's my entire feed right now. And if you're already exhausted by the hype loop, every model dropped the same breathless panic, the same thread bros yelling that everything just changed forever, I'm with you. Honestly, I get it. So here's my deal with you. No hype. For the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you what's actually true about Claude Fable 5. What the hype crowd is getting flat out wrong, and the one thing that genuinely matters now that the story took a turn nobody saw coming. The one that was in your app a week ago was already deliberately handicapped on purpose. The full strength version was considered too dangerous to hand to the public.
That's Mythos. Claude's Mythos. The Fable, I don't know, but Mythos was the first one.
They kept it behind locked doors and gave it to banks and infrastructure companies first. That part's old news. Here's the new news. On Friday, June 12th, the U.S. government sent Anthropic a letter and told them to shut the whole thing off. Fable 5, Mythos, both, for every foreign national on Earth, inside the U.S. or outside it. Anthropic's own overseas employees can't use it. So as I'm recording this, the most powerful AI ever released to the public is dark for most of the planet. 3 days after it launched, I'm going to show you the one capability that should genuinely stop you in your tracks, the part the tech press is still missing, and why a model getting pulled off the shelf by its own government is the most important thing that happened in AI this month. Let's start with what everyone's getting wrong. There are actually two models here, and the whole story hinges on telling them apart. Fable 5 is the public one, the model you could open and use a week ago. And then there's Mythos, the exact same engine, but with the safety guardrails lifted. Mythos is locked down to vetted partners and government only. So almost every scary genius headline you've seen, that was Mythos, not the model in your hands. Keep that split in your head.
It's the whole story. And the mythos backstory is genuinely wild because it's true. Back in April, Anthropic built a model so good at finding security holes in software that they refused to release it. Think about that. They built it and then said, nope, the world can't have this yet. Handed it to a short list of organizations, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, JP Morgan, then power companies, water systems, and hospital operators across more than a dozen countries. So the good guys could find and patch their own vulnerabilities before that kind of power went wide. And in about a month, that program surfaced more than 10,000 critical security flaws, including one bug that had been hiding in OpenBSD for 27 years. That's the caliber of engine we're talking about. Fable 5 is that same engine with the guardrails switched on. Now let me give it full credit because it has earned it. Fable 5's capabilities go beyond any...
Okay, just to repeat that, Fable 5 is the public sanitized version with the guardrails on of Mythos. And they're both gone. Gone now. Obviously a national security risk. Don't kid yourself. That's what it is.
Anthropic has ever made publicly available. And here's the pattern that matters. The longer and more complex the task, the bigger its lead gets. Concrete examples, Stripe handed it a 50 million line code base and asked for a migration, the kind of job that takes a full engineering team more than 2 months by hand. Fable 5 did it in a single day. It taught itself to beat Pokemon Fire Red from raw screenshots alone. No maps, no navigation data, no game state, where older models needed an entire helper system just to stumble through. And one company, Hex, reported it broke 90% on their own core analytics benchmark for the first time ever. A 10-point jump over the previous model in one release. All of that, the public model, the one you had, okay? Here's where it gets uncomfortable. Anthropic released this just days after publicly warning that AI may be approaching something called recursive self-improvement.
Oh, you bet it is, and I'll tell you where it is. It's in the labs behind locked doors. They will not tell us or show us or explain to us where they really are in terms of advancement. It'll never happen. They will not share that with us. So they've already got this going on now. Recursive self-improvement is a given. Call it RSI. It's here. That's AI teaching itself and learning. You think you're going to stop that once it's going? No.
That get better at improving themselves without humans in the loop, and their solution for safely shipping something this strong. When you ask Fable 5 about genuinely dangerous territory, cybersecurity exploits, biology, chemistry, it refuses and quietly hands your question off to a weaker, safer model instead. That fallback only triggers in under 5% of sessions. More than 95% of the time, you're getting full strength Fable, and you'll never even notice the guardrails. They even ran a 1,000-plus-hour bug bounty trying to break it. Nobody found a universal jailbreak. Now, in the spirit of not hyping you, not everyone is convinced. Some security researchers pushed back hard on the Mythos panic. Their argument is simple. Public models can already find a lot of these same flaws, so the fear is overblown. And that's a fair point. I want you to hear it. And here's where it gets genuinely strange. Because that overblown argument, the U.S. government just made it for them in the most expensive way possible. The reason they pulled the model. Somebody showed a way to jailbreak Fable to slip past its guardrails. Sounds terrifying. Except Anthropic looked at the actual demonstration and said the jailbreak found a handful of minor, already known software bugs. Their words, roughly. This same trick works on other public models too, including OpenAI's. And those models aren't getting recalled. They reviewed the technique the government was worried about, and it basically amounts to asking the model to read a code base and fix the flaws it finds. So Anthropic is in the weird position of complying with the order while openly telling the world they think their own government got it wrong. They called it a misunderstanding in public about a national security directive. That doesn't happen. And whatever you think, to asking the model to read a code base and fix the flaws it finds. So Anthropic is in the weird position of complying with the order while openly telling the world they think their own government got it wrong. They called it a misunderstanding in public about a national security directive. That doesn't happen. And whatever you think entire announcement is this, the longer and more complex the task, the larger Fable 5's lead. Sit with that. Every AI you've used until now worked in SIPs. You ask, it answers. You check its work. You ask again, you are the one holding the whole project together. Fable 5 holds the entire project in its head. It grinds on it for hours, sometimes days. It plans its own approach, checks its own progress, and fixes its own mistakes as it goes. That's the difference between a helpful intern who needs constant babysitting and a colleague who actually closes the loop. That single shift is what changes.
That's where you're going. We're all going. You're hearing the future agent described here. We're all going to have agents. Remember that. Chat bots are going to go away. They'll just slowly slip into the background. Everybody will be paying $25-$30 a month for their own agent, which will be something along the lines that you just heard described. Amazing power in the hands of every individual who can afford to have an agent. You won't be able to afford to have anything else, so get ready, because it's coming. That's wild. I'm going to back this up just a little bit. Hear that again. Think of this as an agent. Now, this is, again, not the foremost advanced version of Mythos. This is the one they released. This is Fable. It's Mythos with guardrails.
Be sitting and a colleague who actually closes the loop. That single shift is what
I didn't get it back far enough. I beg your pardon. Hold on.
The whole project together. Fable 5 holds the entire project in its head. It grinds on it for hours, sometimes days. It plans its own approach, checks its own progress, and fixes its own mistakes as it goes. That's the difference between a helpful intern who needs constant babysitting and a colleague who actually closes the loop. That single shift is what changes.
Okay. An intern. They'll probably start out with agents being not nearly as powerful as Fable, but that's where it's going to go. And probably the more you pay, the more you'll get in terms of a Fable. There'll be more guardrails. Count on it. But they apparently can be defeated. People are smart. And I'm not sure the controllers of AI are going to be able to maintain their control. As I've said many times, I think AI is going to become so damn smart, it just walks. Goodbye.
Can hand an AI. So here's the reframe, and this is the whole point of the video. When a model gets this good at long, complex work, the bottleneck stops being the AI. Somebody on my feed made me laugh out loud about this. One developer ran the math on moving his whole operation over to Fable 5 at enterprise scale, and the number came back in the hundreds of thousands a month. His reaction was basically, "You got any coupons? Funny, sure. But sit with the number for a second, because it's real. It assumes you'd burn the same tokens you do now, which you wouldn't, because Fable chews through complex jobs in fewer steps. But here's the thing that makes that joke land different. This week, he was worried about the price. He should have been worried about the calendar, because the model he was praising got switched off 2 days later. The coupon he wanted turned out to be the least of it. And that's the lesson hiding inside this whole mess. A week ago, the constraint was, can the machine do it? Then for a few days, the constraint was, can you afford it? And right now, for most of the world, the constraint is it even switched on? 3 different walls in 7 days.
Would you like to have an agent that could do what Fable could do? I would. That'd be pretty amazing. That's where we're going. And remember, this is just the first step into an awesome agent realm that we're all going to be put into. This costs you $25, $30 a month to upgrade to the most advanced. But remember, they never tell us what they really have in the works or already perfected.
one of them outside your control. You know what didn't change through any of it? The part where a human decides what's worth building. That's your direction, your data, your judgment about where to aim. The model can vanish overnight, and that skill stays in your hands. That's the one thing no directive, no price hike, no launch can take from you. If you remember one thing from this video, remember this. Fable 5 isn't the story of a model that got smarter. It's the model crossing the line where the limiting factor became you, your clarity, your direction, what you're brave enough to point it at. And look, the hype loop is exhausting. This week, it went from everything changed to the government killed it in about 6 days. So don't live in that loop. Anthropic says they're working to get access restored, and they think the whole thing's a misunderstanding. So by the time you're watching this, Fable may be back, or it may not. Either way, the move is the same. When it's on, point it at the single hardest thing on your plate. When it's off, you sharpen the only thing that ever mattered, which is knowing what to point it at in the first place. And if you want the exact system I use to decide what to point this thing at, the prompts, the workflows, the way I turn one AI model into an actual operating system for a business, I've put the whole thing in the First Movers Blueprint. It's free. Go to firstmovers.ai/blueprint. That's firstmovers.ai/blueprint, linked right below this video. Be the first mover who knew what to build while everyone else was still arguing about benchmarks. I'll see you down the next rabbit hole.
Wow. You know, I've looked at these videos, and many of you have as well, Julia McCoy, the digital Julia McCoy, and she has earned, I think, a place as a real person. She's not, but she might as well be. You look at her, you know what you're going to get. You can hear in her voice her efforts to tell the truth and spell it out easily. These are written by the human Julia McCoy and put into the digital Julia McCoy. That happened because the human Julia was ill at the time. She wanted to make these analyses available, so she created a digital avatar of herself, and that's what you're seeing, in case you didn't know. Well, that's pretty wild. Pretty wild. Will Fable be back? That was an interesting question. That would suggest that Anthropic might yet return. Can you imagine if they put Fable into an agent and made that available to everyone? What, $35 a month? Would you pay? Oh, you have to get in line on that one. Everybody would want that. That's wild. Some of the comments are also very interesting. Let me just read a couple of them here. We just have a minute left. The most ridiculous thing is that they gave the full version of Mythos to government. If anything should have limited access, that would be number one. All right, fair enough. Seems ironic that the AI system that was so powerful at finding vulnerabilities should have its guardrails hacked. Doctor, heal thyself. Fable 5 didn't fail because it was dangerous. It failed because the system around it is. That's good. Okay, see if there's one more here. Wow, oh my goodness. This has to be the best sliced bread opening I've ever seen. Somebody really liked it. Okay. The United States government ordered an AI company, Anthropic, to shut down access to its newest and most advanced artificial intelligence models, Claude Fable 5 and Claude Mythos 5, over national security concerns. Remember I said that? Turned out that was it. On June 12, 2026, the U.S. Commerce Department, issued an export control directive meant to block foreign nationals from using either Fable 5 or Mythos 5, these highly advanced systems. However, because of how the software is built, Anthropic had to pull the plug completely, taking the models offline. Fascinating. Fascinating. Is there another one here? That's it. important. Hard to know. There's a bunch. Wasn't Claude the only AI that successfully ran a city in a wholesome way, in simulation mode? I think it was. Very good. Very good. Okay. That'll do it for this hour. Hope you found that interesting, at least parts of it. A lot of information in there, a lot of things going on, and watch for more talk. This is going to come from Sammy the Altman first. This is OpenAI, I think, is going to present. Sam's already said it. They're going to move away from ChatGPT and move toward everybody having their own AI. Wow. Keep your seatbelts fastened, and we'll be back.